Hi, thanks for downloading this. My name's Alex Boardman. I'm a stand-up comedian. I have been for 20 years, and I run the New Comedians Night at the Comedy Store Manchester. On the podcast, we're going to be speaking to all of the acts on the stage tonight at the New Comedians Show. Okay, let's get on with the show. What a dick. So, Christmas, New Comedians, comes but once a year. It's a Christmas special of New Comedians. We've got nearly 200 people in. They're absolutely gorgeous. And because it's a Christmas special and we didn't know if we'd have any Christmas drinky dickheads in, I book not quite New Comedians. I book comedians who are like been going quite a bit, to be honest. First one, James Meehan. Hello, James.
Hi, mate. You all right?
Yes, I'm excellent. Now, I've known you for quite a while.
Yeah.
How long have you been a stand-up now? About 6 years full-time, maybe five?
I've been on and off. My first gig was about 8 years ago at Salford Uni, but then I had a bit of time off since then. But yeah, I've been doing it full-time for about 2 or 3 years now, yeah.
And you've had loads of success in the last 6 years. You remember of Funds and Games?
Yep.
Which got a BBC pilot, which yep. also won...
It won the panel prize in Edinburgh in 2014.
Panel prize in Edinburgh. So that's amazing.
Yep.
Just that alone would be amazing. And then you're also a member of Gaines Family Gift Shop.
Yep.
Which won?
No, it didn't. It's won some things. I was nominated. Well, we were nominated for Best Newcomer at 2014 Edinburgh, and we won Chortle Best Newcomer in 2015.
Wow. And also, you've done a little Christmas, one of the Sky Christmas crackers.
Yeah, we did a Sky short last year, yeah, Christmas one.
And did you not do a Halloween one as well? Was that just...
That was Kiri.
That was just Kiri, was it?
Yes.
He's also a member of Gaines.
Yeah.
Right, so massive pedigree. So there's no way you need to do this, but luckily, you did me a favour, so that's great for me. And you were brilliant as well.
It was lovely. Yeah, it was really nice.
Because
was...
I've only seen you in clubs, and that was a bit like your club set. Some of it I recognised, but then there was like this whole class bit.
I relaxed a bit. That's what happened.
Ah.
When they were a nice audience, I managed to go, okay, right, maybe I can try some of the stuff from the show that I did and things like that.
Tell you more about it. I'm a working class man. I grew up on a council estate in a small town called Leyland in Lancashire, but it took me a while to realise just how working class I am, right, because my mum and dad's side of the family, they're very different from each other, okay? I lived with my mum growing up, and I saw my dad every other weekend. And my dad's side of the family, they're well-educated, they're well-read. One of them's a chiropractor. One of them can speak five languages. My mum's side of the family, less so. They have jobs like having a bad back.
So what was that? Was that last year's Edinburgh, your last year Edinburgh show? That you
so
did
this year's Edinburgh, actually.
Was
yeah.
It this
so
oh,
yeah,
well, we're in the same year, aren't we?
Yeah,
3 months ago.
Yeah, so I went up with a show called Class Acts to Edinburgh, and it was sort of about classism in the comedy industry and being a working class man. And yeah, and so.
So you believe there is a sort of. We've had chats about this before. I also wonder if class is a bit of an issue, mainly for the reason that a lot of people that would commission comedy and maybe decide whether it gets on the radio or the TV are possibly from a quite narrow background. I think
a lot of the people that work in the circuit, I think, is brilliant because
yeah.
it judges if you're good, if you get the laughs, you get the work. Pardon me. But I think the industry is in television and radio is often... ran, and it's not necessarily that they're bad people, but it's ran by people who have come from that background, who can afford to live in London and be funded by family, and it's very, very institutionalised.
Yeah.
And I think people from a working class background often tend to get overlooked and put into a very specific category, which is
I agree with
not clever enough.
Well,
even if they are, if they've got an accent from the north, a lot of the times they just tend to be ignored.
Yeah,
particularly if you don't live in London as well, because a lot of the industry is based in London.
Yeah, still, even though there's a big thing in Salford, I'd agree with that. And it feels odd, doesn't it? And then people, you go, well, what about Alan Bennett? He's been successful for... That's a very, very specific kind
yeah.
of...
But there's always the odd person, definitely.
Yeah, like, there's always the odd person.
You have Peter Kay, you have...
Cambridge. And got a first in everything they ever
yeah.
did. But I kind of agree. It feels like... I remember being young and watching people on telly that were really, really funny, absolute masters of comedy. Wes Dawson, Ken Dodd, people
yeah,
like
yeah.
that I'd done years and years, and were just riotously funny, brilliantly funny. Class wasn't an issue for Morecambe and Wise. They were just Morecambe and Wise. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think it's changed over the years, though,
it
as well. It could genuinely be seen as like a working class pastime. It belonged to the working class
yeah.
quite a while ago, I think. So it's since like
And it's been gentrified slightly.
Yeah, it's been gentrified over the
like
years.
Things like football, especially. You try and go to watch a football match now, it's like 30 quid a ticket. Well, you can afford 120 quid to take your family and stuff. You just can't.
Yeah, exactly.
You just can't. Maybe why don't posh people... Why don't you go start boxing? Never do that, do they? Just go, oh, let's do it all. So let's do comedy and stuff like that. We'll go around the clubs, ironically.
Yeah, I think I've heard a few people go, no, you run everything else. Leave comedy to us, please.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily believe that. I think everyone, I think it should be judged on if you're good or not. And unfortunately, I just think there's a margin when it comes to TV and radio where it isn't classed on whether you're good or not. It's classed on who you know.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And the circuit is wonderful for that. It is almost a total meritocracy.
Yeah, definitely.
If you get the laughs, funny enough, whether you are, there are comedians who maybe 5-10 years ago who are related to royalty, who you gig with, and they'd storm gigs. And then there's people from the poorest, humblest background you could imagine who would also get gigs. And everybody in between, black, white, man, woman, not a problem.
Yep.
But not necessarily on TV.
Yeah, you get progression on the circuit if you make the audience laugh. That's how it works.
Yeah, that's I love the circuit for that.
Yeah.
But that's it. Let's not say anymore. I can say what the fuck I want. I've been doing it 20 years. You've got a massive career ahead of you. Yeah.
But I'll just certainly say, I love the BBC. Please give me more work.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Somebody who's just had a BBC pilot. He's just sat in a BBC pilot, a Sky Cracker, a Radio 4 series. And my heart is bleeding for you.
Well, you can check all those things out. You can go on my website. It's jamesmeehan.co.uk.
Jamesmeehan.co.uk. If you've not seen him on or heard him on the BBC or Sky, YouTube him. In fact, get a Kodi stick that are vaguely legal and download all his stuff free. Then he doesn't get paid for it. How's that?
Well, I'd object to that, but...
Thank you, James.
No worries, mate.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, the second act on, James was brilliant. Our second act is a really special act for me because she's one of the reasons that new comedians exist. Because not naming any names, at one of the shows that's an open mic competition show, I was the MC of that show at whatever venue that was in. And Harriet was on and I was like, oh my God, this comedian is just the funniest thing I've seen. And he's being voted on by drunk idiots and it's just wrong. And then only about 2-3 weeks after, somebody said to me, would I like to do a monthly night? And I was like, what could I do? And I was like, do you know what? He stuck with me that there were you and two other acts on that night. Do you remember that night?
Yeah.
Do you remember where it was? Don't say.
Oh, yeah, I do remember where it was.
So I got you to do one of the first ones in Preston. This gig used to be in Preston. So anyway, Harriet Dyer, welcome to the gig.
Thank you.
Again, another not a new comedian, really. How long have you been going now?
6 years.
Yeah, and you're brilliant. You're doing loads of other clubs and stuff. Doing it everywhere, pretty much, aren't you?
For a bit, and then I get weird, and then I don't get the gigs anymore.
You are just funny, aren't you? One of those like people who... Because what was that set that you did? Firstly, it was half an hour-ish.
Oh, dear.
But that's brilliant, because we needed
that time.
The light
didn't come on.
Maybe it did. Maybe you just turned it off, did it not?
I don't know.
Maybe he was enjoying it so much.
Oh, dear.
Because everybody was, and you seemed to not... do anything for about 10 or 15 minutes except just keep being distracted and being more and more funny.
This is what it's going to be for about 20 minutes. So, get on board. Otherwise, it's just going to be like me just chatting to myself in the mirror like any other night, crying. Oh, I really like your coat. Is it a skeleton? Is it stripes? Stripes? Or is it, like, you know... Because I can't see very well. Is it... Yeah, lady at the back. Is it, you know... Is it a skeleton? Oh, sorry. Audience banter? Done. You're wearing a skeleton? No, it's stripes. Cool, carry on with my detectiveness. I liked as well, because I was watching from up there. And when you guys came in, you walked there... Looked there and thought, no, we're not idiots. We're not sitting at the front. So then walked all the way round, really slow, like a knobhead. And you were clever. You whipped up there. And then you were just left by yourself. But if you'd have gone with the first plan, you would have been together. Touching myself again. clamping. Weird. Anyway, all detectives need... really like your T-shirt. Because of how you're sitting, so it's a smiley face, but because of how you're sitting, looks like it's had a stroke. It's like... this isn't how it was supposed to be.
Well, because what it was I've realised that when I first started, I've become what I didn't really want to be. I started, like, going, oh, but would they like this? And will I do that? And try to, like, fit in for what I thought people wanted. And they were still too bloody weird, so it didn't work anyway. And then I know that anything I write is never as funny as...
just you.
Yeah, like, not being a big head, but it's so disheartening that I spend hours writing and then I say something and then everyone be like, hee-hee! My show next year that I want to take to Edinburgh is just going to be... Because, like, big things have always sort of happened in my life before I've gone to Edinburgh. So, like, I did the mum show and the this show. Yeah. So there was... And I was mental. So there was always moving nonsense. I just want to dick around and be silly like I always wanted to be anyway, because I think I just forgot.
Well, I'm going to put a picture on Twitter up, and maybe even we could link it, but there's a picture of everybody in the comedy store stood on their feet tonight as you were teaching them how to do the dance, walk the dinosaur. And then in another bit, you were a detective. And then in another bit, you had a squid hand. It was really funny. I've not enjoyed a set for a long time like that. Aww. I just weed myself laughing throughout.
Thank you so much. Funny.
So what Edinburgh shows have you done then? You did, because you're involved with a mental health charity, aren't you?
Yeah, so I did. Yeah, so I did the Barking at Aeroplanes one, which was like... because I never realised I was mental. I just thought I was just eccentric. So it was like about that. Oh, God, I was. And riddled. And then, so there was that one. And then last year there was We'd Prefer Someone a Bit More Mainstream. That was like, what? Yeah, I thought of that, but I didn't think of the title. I was told that by a... So I thought, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So it was about that. And then...
So that's what they told you in feedback?
Yeah.
Right. So they didn't tell you to do that title as an Edinburgh show.
No.
They just said after one set, you'd done it a weekend.
Yeah.
Do you know what I feel like? It would, for me, that would be like saying to Mr. Bean or Charlie Chaplin, something, you don't speak very much. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's the whole point of you, is that you just...
Yeah. But it's not, it wasn't consistent enough. So it was fair enough. There was always, whenever I did a weekend, there'd be one night where it would go really well. And then another night where it was just like... it was just painful for everyone involved. And then and then as well, the same person that said that said that, like, I don't compromise. And I guess that's fair enough, but I don't really know how to. Like, I've tried, but my compromising isn't compromising.
So
I can't even say
so
it.
So this Edinburgh show is going to be...
Detective,
which is so funny.
Detective Dyer. So I thought about calling it "This Town Ain't Big Enough for you, your yellow-bellied jelly licker," but then I realised that's a sheriff.
Yeah, and also it'd be a tough poster, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To read.
Yeah,
on the
I
bus.
Don't really like thinking of photos and stuff, so you just have words. I didn't want to have to get any pictures done. Yeah, I would have figured, I just want something stupid. I thought I was going to do, like, because I love my trainers and I love Twin Peaks, so I thought about calling it Twin Sneaks, but then I think that's rubbish.
Yeah, and also not massively detective themed.
No. So I need to. But then I thought. Diagnosis murder.
There you go. That's cracking. Diagnosis
murder. Oh!
That is awesome.
Oh, wicked.
So, if nothing else, we've now solved...
Solved!
The
oh
case
my God,
of what to call your title.
Things all over the shop.
Right, how do people, if they want to follow you...
Well, they're just...
Because you change your name on Twitter and I don't even know. I've tried to tag you into these pictures.
No,
and
Twitter
I even...
is really... Just type in Harry Dyer and it comes up.
All right, well, it's Facebook that I put you in and you
change
it into...
Yeah, I don't... Because there was a man that kept messaging me asking me to post him my eyelashes. So it was just constant weirdos. And as well, because often I put like family stuff on my normal Facebook. So I've got my page, my comedy page... That's Harriet Dyer, so they can like that. They don't need to know about my life in Cornwall, do they?
No, they don't. And how did people get hold of your eyelashes, if they need to?
Well, I didn't send them. Oh. Good, because as well, because my friend Jenny Hills at school, she cut off at my, I may have cut off her eyelashes at school, and they never grew back. So the moment you take them off, they just get stumpy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
This has been the most learning podcast there's ever been. So some just Google Harriet Dyer.
Yeah. I am over my comedy, my comedian page is on Facebook, Harriet Dyer. That's what I'm called. And then on Twitter, if you type in Harriet Dyer, Dyerlinquent will come up.
Dyerlinquent, right.
Punning all over the
It's awesome, isn't it? Dyerlinquent murder.
Yeah.
Right. That was only about 3 minutes to get your Twitter address out of you. That was brilliant.
I'm not saying anything else now.
Thank you, Harriet.
Thank you. All the best.
So, we came back after the break, and it was really fun. The crowd had been good at the beginning of the show anyway. They were even better in the second half. A lady called Sarah, who did classical singing, came up and did some singing. Was exactly as we all thought it would be. You sang and we just went wow, and then instantly we were bored, but totally broke the ice, and it was wonderful. And then the first act in the second bit was a brand new comedian called Tori Millard. Hello, Tori.
Hello.
Hiya. How old are you?
21. 21.
Because I knew you when you were a student.
Yeah.
At Salford on the media and drama and comedy course.
Yeah,
I knew you from the comedy bit. Mm-hmm. And you were great. You were excellent. Passed one of the best in your year. Passed with flying colours.
Did.
Didn't know you did stand up though. I knew you were an actress and had done comedy and performance and things like that. And you were great at that. But I was shocked when I got a request from you, could I come and do an open spot? And you were brilliant. So how long have you been doing it?
I want to say, when you say I've been doing it for 2 years, but I've probably only been any good at it for maybe 6 months.
Right.
So it was always that, just winging it for ages.
Right.
When I was at uni. But now it's sort of getting on board with it and taking it really seriously.
So when you were at uni, were you doing some of those uni gigs that they...
Oh, so many of them. So many of them,
well,
yeah.
Well, tell us about those then, because they're not proper gigs, are they? They are and they aren't.
No, yeah, okay. They're more not than are.
Yeah.
But I think probably some of the most helpful things I've done.
Yes.
Because I can go there and I can spurt out whatever's going on and stuff I've written 30 seconds before, stuff that... may not, you know, it's just a great, it's a tester place, and they're really, really helpful. They're also soul-crushing.
Yes.
There's often just you in the room and maybe a couple of sad men propping up the bar.
And this is what I want to know, because this is why I think it would be really difficult, and I'm not being disrespectful, and I think it's great because you learn your mic technique, you learn how to remember material, you learn how to deliver it. Who is the audience? Who are those people?
Oh, gosh.
Are they all students? Are they all regulars in a pub?
Often it will be... We see, because it's a regular night, so it'd be every Wednesday.
Where would that have been in Salford?
There's a place called the Tiger Lounge,
right,
which is on the way into Manchester.
Okay.
Yeah. And the regular audience is just the regular comedians.
Right. So there's no real people.
No.
How much is it to get in?
There's no cost.
The two biggest problems you could face. Mm-hmm. Nobody's invested in the night, and everybody's a comedian anyway.
So yeah.
They've got the opposite of a vested interest, because one, they've not paid. But also, if they don't laugh at you, then they go on and they think they've done better. It's a horrible situation.
No, it's great to just babble crap material, but it's probably some of the worst things you'll ever do. Because
so then you moved to London, you now live in London.
I
so
do.
Where have you been doing in London then?
London was a difficult one to start off with because I knew nobody when I got there.
Right.
I don't really know what I was thinking when I moved to London. I was like, bugger it, I'll go. And so it's just picking it up. I think London's a really different scene in the way that everything's set up. Everything's bringers and things like that. But it's
bringers. So we don't have bringers here. That's bring some mates.
Yeah, bring a mate
that's
with you, otherwise
New
you
York.
Can't go on.
Wow. So how many? That's unbelievable to me. How many mates do you have to bring? Like three, four, two?
Sometimes it can be one. Sometimes it can be two or three.
So say you're a brand new comedian and you turn up and you've not got a mate because you've only moved to
and
London straight away. They won't put you on?
No, they will not let you on if you haven't got a mate.
Wow.
Really, really strict on
that's
it.
That's awful. People must presumably meet people outside, new comedians, be like, oh,
yeah,
I be
the amount of time.
And just say, can you come in with me and be my fake friend?
Yeah. Oh, that it happens bizarre. All the time.
I can't believe that's just abhorrent. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The idea of that.
Yeah.
When you're giving them a free night anyway.
Well, that's the thing, yeah, because, I mean, in some cases, they'll still charge on the door.
Wow.
But you're, and then you're not being paid, but they'll expect you to bring people with you.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, in some ways, I think they see it as a really good idea because you've always got a guaranteed audience in there.
Yeah.
But it's tough to just get a spot. It's tough to get up there.
It's awful. If you're one of those people that books that kind of night and you make that, you are utterly despicable and there is no excuse. That is so not comedy. You can, however you want to paint that, get your own audience and work on getting your own audience. Don't have new people are giving you free entertainment.
Yeah.
Don't put it on them. It's your job, you lazy bastards, and stop doing it. It's just utterly wrong. Absolutely very bad. It's like a pay to play that also came in America where people used to pay like $5, $10 to get a spot to give people free entertainment that they're giving them. And the thing with an open spot night, if the act is crap, that's as entertaining, more entertaining than if they're half good. But you were brilliant tonight. Absolutely superb, Tori. So did you make a conscious decision to go, I'm a comedian?
Yeah. When I left uni, I went, that's what I want to do.
You want to be a comedian. Sorry. And how many gigs do you say you think you've done since then?
Since then, it could be maybe 50 since I graduated.
Right. So you can tell because you've got like a confidence and you do loads of things well for a new act. You're like, wow, she looks great. She's looking at everybody in the audience. You're delivering your jokes as well, which is, people don't do that. New comedians sometimes don't. They go, here's the joke that I've written. Let me just apologize for it. But you're like, here's my joke. Wait, laugh. And they did. It was brilliant.
I'm just finished uni. I'm fresh out of uni. I've got my degree. I've got myself a first class honours degree. And I'm currently living in a two-bedroom flat in Wimbledon. So I thought I was doing all right. I mean, the degree's in comedy and I share the flat with 20 other people, but it's making progress. I'm not joking. There's five in the downstairs bedroom. Four of them are cousins and the other one's pregnant. I'm not making judgments, but there's something hairy going on there.
So if people want to follow you, find out more about you or...
Oh, fab. Everything is at Tori Gwen across the board on any media.
Tori Gwen. T-O-R-I Gwen.
No, T-O-R-I.
T-O-R-I.
Gwen.
I don't even know what I
Tori.
Said. Tori. God, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
And then that's across the board. It's on everything.
Brilliant.
Facebook and the lot.
Tori, you were great. I loved it when you were in my class at uni. Cause
I loved being in your class.
You were really like, you just did everything you needed to do. All the prep, all the extra work. You were always going to get a first because you were great. And you're going to be a brilliant comedian.
Bless you. Thank you.
Tori Gwen.
Gwen.
Follow Tori Gwen. Thank you, Tori, my lad.
No, thank you, Alex.
Closing the show tonight in absolute style, Will Duggan. Hello, Will Duggan.
Hi, Alex.
Right, can you be normal? No,
I am being normal. Oh, right. Hi,
Take it a little more seriously, please. So, Will Duggan, I was your jinx, wasn't I? I was your gig jinx.
Yeah, for the last few months.
For the last few months. Now, do you think you've broken that jinx there after that performance?
I'll be honest, I think so. But then also, I thought I had on Friday, and then what you said earlier, I very much hadn't. So, I'll leave it up to you.
So, if basically, you can have some fun with comedians. If like they ever say to you, oh, I've done two gigs with you now, and you're like a bit like my jinx. Then comedians get it in the head that if you are on with this person, they do badly. So you could say, oh, no, you did really well. But what you must do if you're a comedian is run that for as long as possible. So Duggan did reasonably well tonight and a very, very easy audience.
Yeah.
And he did all right. I've he just did okay.
So nice. Thanks for having me.
Well, you want me again, so enjoy the podcast.
I don't listen.
So, no one does. That's the producer there who keeps putting... Anyway, right, so you, also like Mian, who was on first, were a member of Funds and Games.
Yep.
So you've also had a BBC pilot.
Yep.
And Edinburgh Newcomer Nominee Awards and stuff like that?
Yeah, oh, we won, so not nominee.
You doing working on a one-man show for this Edinburgh again? Or?
Yeah, so I did one last year. It was my first one, and it was fine.
What was it called?
It's called A Man Gathering Fish.
Oh, right. Nice.
Which is about, it's about a painting, but it was fine. It was an hour of pretty much straight stand-up,
yeah,
cobbled over a theme.
Right.
And my reviews were nice, but they were all like, this was nice. I want to see him do a proper show rather than just go and be funny for an hour. So I'm working on.
That's rubbish.
I know, but I quite like the challenge because, like,
what do they mean a proper show? Like singers and dancers and kid on a bike.
Something like. So did you see Kiri's show this year?
No, I don't. So I don't go because I've got like a family in that.
Yeah, so I've got nothing. Kiri's show was brilliant. It was a show about a thing. There's not much material from it that you can actually take out and do at the weekends. Okay. Whereas mine, that bit about the barber I did tonight, that was just from the show. That was a bit from the show.
It was brilliant, that bit, though. It was brilliant on Friday when you did it, and I really like that bit.
See, I'm doing a show this year where I solve the seven biggest problems facing the world.
What nonsense?
No, but there's stuff like the bin men leave my bin outside the wrong house.
Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's taking a piss.
But I mean, what nonsense that people, that reviewers would think that, like, an hour of pure stand-up's not valid. How did that ever happen? How were we in this stupid... I'm really angry with this second half of this podcast. People are just getting on my tits, making new acts bring people to gigs with them so they can play the gig. Wrong. And reviewers deciding anything. Reviewers know essentially nothing, I would wager.
Did you ever hear the review, the Marcel Lecomte review, where he got one star? Because the woman was like, she was like 19, was an English student, her first ever review. It's like, yeah, this French guy came on and he was just being really horrible. Everyone was loving it, but I found him very aggressive. And he had to like go, it's a character. But he printed the full review off, took it to all his posters in Edinburgh. Like, these guys are fucking idiots.
His real name Alexis or Alex Dubois?
Alexis Dubois, yeah.
Alexis Dubois, because I did a gig with him 10 years ago in Camden at Camden Jonglers. And I was emceeing, I brought him on. And he got a black polo neck on, no shoes, and stood there with like a bottle of wine in one hand, a glass of wine in the other hand, and in a thick French accent told all these stag and Hindus why they were all really stupid and rubbish, and why England was terrible. And half the audience were like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. And the other half were so angry. So that's the mentality of a reviewer. You are as clever as a thick, drunk stag night that's probably been drinking for 6 or 8 hours and you can't see that. So don't even think of telling Duggan what to do.
Never. No one.
No one tell Duggan what to do. How long have you been going now? Because you're another one who's not really
about 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did my first gig in February 2008, did 3 gigs, and then did okay-ish at 2, and then did 25 seconds at Beat the Frog.
Right.
And then didn't gig for a year. So started about 2009.
Right. Because I always think of you, there's like a crop of like you and James Meehan and Phil Ellis as well, and I know that you are part of Funds and Games, but there's a load of you that came through all at the same time.
Pete Otway,
Brennan Reese, Kiri,
Katie Mulgrew.
Katie Mulgrew. Let's just list names.
Yeah, it's a laugh, isn't it?
But because that's like your
school
circuit.
Year.
Yeah, that's like, and it happens every sort of 3 or 4 years that a new wave comes in. Now, have you found it, when I started, when my wave came through, people that were leaving or had left already, because there wasn't really a circuit, they were Caroline Ahern had left, Steve Coogan had left, they were all doing massive brilliant things, Dave Gorman was just about to leave and go and like be famous pretty much, so it was clear for us, we just didn't have anybody in our way. But then you lot have got all these last 10 or 15 years of all these comedians taking all the slots that you should be having and we should be on telly.
Well, I did a gig a few weeks ago, and I was opening, I mean, booked to open, and the middle act had dropped out like a couple of days before. And Mike Gunn, I think it was.
Wow, yeah, Mike Gunn's amazing.
Mike Gunn's amazing. Like, he's a store headline, like the Apollo.
He's been on McIntyre's Roadshow.
And I said to him, why are you here? It's like a Friday.
Yeah.
And the opening fee wasn't brilliant, so the middle fee would have been less. Like, well, I had nothing in. It's like,
yeah.
How can I progress when...
Yeah, that's the state of the circuit.
Yeah, it's harder because in clubs, there are... There are acts that you definitely can't replace.
No.
So you're looking for progression and you can't.
This is what it's a real catch 22 at the moment is when I was like where you are now, like get on the same bill, like on the going on first on that bill that you're talking about, was a few years ago. And then you're just stretching, part of you is going, am I good enough to like
close Camden Jongleurs, or am I good enough to like be on at the Glee, or am I, you know, and you had to go and learn as well. So you weren't as good as the other people that were on, but you learn really quick. And if you didn't learn really quick, you were out. And I think there's loads of acts now. That set you did was brilliant. Absolutely perfectly written.
But like, it started off perfectly normally. I woke up one morning, had a weird rash on my side. Went to my doctor, I said, I've got this rash. He said, it's okay, Mr. Duggan. What you've got is the shingles. And I was surprised at first, because I thought we'd got rid of the shingles along with the pox and slavery. But we haven't. It's alive and living in my spine. And I said, oh, how do you get the shingles? He said, it's one of two main reasons that people get the shingles. The first one is AIDS. Cool. And the second one is stress. He said, are you stressed, Mr. Duggan? I said, I am now. I think I might have AIDS.
And you're going, well, let him do that for a year in every gig in the country, and he could go on in any slot, because you're easily good enough.
Oh, thanks, Alex. That's nice of you.
It's just, I'm winding you up. You listen to the beginning of the interview. That's what I really think. But it's just really hard, isn't it? So it's hard at every level, whether you're new or you just can't.
In a way, right. And it might be contentious, this, but in a way, it's quite nice because it is really hard. And like, gigging 7 years. I mean, when I started Acts of God in 7 years with X, Y, and Z, like, I still have to do real work to make ends meet sometimes. Mm. But it makes you go, oh, should I give up? And I go, no, because I love it. So the people like in my one, there are some maybe in your wave that realise they could get a mortgage and work 2 days a week.
Yeah,
that dead behind the eyes. But you have
me.
To,
me.
Like, not you.
I'm dead. I am. I'm so bored listening to Duggan now.
But you have to just... Do you know what? You have to just love comedy, which I did until about 3 minutes ago.
This is the plan for, like, every so often we get an interview, we try and make the person quit comedy. That's what... This is more of an intervention, really. Well, me. Yeah. No,
I'm very zen, guys.
I know. You just... You're untouchable. Right. So... If people want to follow you, how do they like follow you or get in touch or anything? Have you got a website?
I haven't got a website. No, what's the point? I'm not getting booked for fucking gigs. Let's put it on a website. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Will Duggan. I'm very nice on there. You can make friends with me on Facebook. Though I've got a stupid fake name. Not because I don't want people adding me. It's because I work with kids and I want them finding me.
Right.
So it's Wild Egg Ann.
Right.
I've got a fan page on Facebook. Give it a like.
Yeah, do that. Do that. You were great tonight. And
thanks,
that clip, the clip will show it. You were brilliant. Right, see you a bit, dude.
Bye.
Thank you for downloading the New Comedians podcast. I've been Alex Boardman. You can follow me on Twitter at alxboardman. Big thanks to The Comedy Store for hosting us on the third Sunday of every month. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. The producer was Richard Massara.
Bye.
Bye. So, tonight's show was an absolute cracker, and for some reason we're now talking to Rich Massara afterwards.
Okay, you said this was the bit you liked best about the last fucking podcast, and now you're giving me shit like, like,
was
now we're gonna go and talk to producer Rich.
Producer Rich Massara,
you're the one who's trying to, like, so far you've been like, I got nothing to talk about, then started talking about comic books, and then
well, okay, your friend who you live with,
Danny Sutcliffe, funny comedian,
yeah, and then the comics don't belong to him, I don't think. So we did a gig together a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about these comic books.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard comic books for years.
Graphic novels, mate. Graphic novels.
Graphic novels, I don't like that word. I think
don't make me punch you in the face. It's fucking graphic novels.
Sounds poor. Sounds also a bit hardcore-y, rude.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. It's like, is it going to be explicit with
sex? Oh, yeah, and you're very bad about things that are explicit
with
sex.
Yeah, no,
you really don't like it. Well, don't like it, do you? I don't never mention it.
I'm not going to
I'm not going to
have a comic
tonight.
For it. I want
not
actual
even on stage tonight. Have you ever mentioned sex? I don't. Or in any way objectified any single woman in the audience?
I never do. I do. If I do, it's postmodern and ironic.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Is that how you tell
I'm
yourself
kind of
so your wife doesn't fucking
I'm
beat the shit out of you?
I'm trying to tiptoe a line between a 70s Northern Club comedian and some sort of not. Anyway, so this comic, because to me comics, when I was a kid, were Wizard and Chips, Nutty, Beano, Dandy and Roy of the Rovers, which I've got dozens and dozens. I've probably still got 100 of my Roy of the Rovers comics still. So they're comics, British comics. So this comic book 2000 thing, AD. For people my age, yeah, 2000 AD, which was for weird kids when you were in growing up in the 70s and were normal.
Oh, okay.
It was for kind of weirdos like that. Batman, Spider-Man were all right, yeah. But they were not easy to get living in Oldham. Maybe in central Manchester, maybe. But 6 miles out, Oldham, no. Difficult.
Okay.
So he was telling me about these comic books, and I remember like I've dabbled with a bit of X-Men and a bit of this stuff, and I was a bit like, okay. Yeah. And he's going, they're brilliant. So anyway, this comic is called The Boys.
Yeah, by Garth Ennis.
Garth Ennis.
Look at the smile on your face when you talk about it.
It is the best.
I love it when people are like, oh no, comic books were for kids, and you're just like, you don't realise the level of like amazing writing and like mature writing that has been done into it. And to see you smile at that.
So well. They are written so brilliantly well. And it's not because like, I'm really into like writing and novels and reading all kinds of things. And to storyboard a story, you've got to be so absolutely precise and economical. And they say so much in even a picture or just a raised eyebrow.
Yeah.
And you just go, this is... And how long must it take them to draw these amazing pictures and colour them in?
I know. The amazing thing is when you find out how quickly they actually have to do the artwork as well. It's brilliant. Oh, I'm so pleased. I've got one I could suggest to you right now called Transmetropolitan, which I'm going to have to lend you.
Brilliant.
Which is absolutely brilliant, by a guy called Warren Ellis, who's very similar in kind of tone, the things he likes to do and the things he likes to write about. And I can also lend you another Garth Ennis one where they gave him Marvel released a line called... that Max, and basically it was like, okay, we have adult readers,
right?
Let's start aiming Marvel stories at them. And they let Garth Ennis do the Punisher because he's very, very into his war. He's done lots of Vietnam stories, he's done World War II stories as well. He's very much into that, and he kind of went, so I can be as graphic and as dark as I want with the Punisher. And they went, yeah, and it's absolutely phenomenal, and you absolutely love it.
Well, I think that's why those original comics of, like, say, X-Men and Spider-Man and stuff, probably if you come at them as a kid, you're like, this is amazing. But when I came at them as, like, 20-odd, when people, 20-odd-year-old, and people are going, oh, I love this such thing, and I love DC, and I love that, and I was aware of them, but not. So I'd get them, and I'd be like, you got these, like, amazing... Well, say it's Marvel, and it's Wolverine.
Yeah.
He's got these claws, these adamantium claws, and he's fighting some giant... Even say Sabretooth. They're both going absolutely at each other. Nobody gets hurt. No bystander really gets hurt. Somebody unimportant might die, but it's never really human. And you're just like, oh, it's like the A-Team, or it's like Stormtroopers.
There are so many
missing
nerds screaming at their iPods
I'm
right
sure
now.
They
are. You're so wrong! You're so wrong!
But it just seemed really... boring to
mate, there is a world of reading for you to be doing.
Well, this is so exciting for me, and the Boys to be my first one.
I just love that little smile you gave me.
I'm just so happy with it. I'm so happy with Danny Sutcliffe. He's like
He is a wonderful man.
The biggest present you can give someone is to just give them something like, yeah, you might enjoy this.
A whole world to discover.
And it really has. Yeah. It's totally changed my thinking on stuff.
Well, while we've got you smiling, just one quick thing. Happy Christmas.
What? Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
I got you anything?
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't have fucking got me anything, you son of a bitch.
Oh, no. I can't believe it. Is this from you?
Yes.
Let's unwrap it. Yeah. Well, here's a clue. Oh, Christ.
Happy Christmas. Of course it's booze.
It's New Amsterdam vodka.
Yeah.
How did you know? I just love vodka. Oh, Rich.
I didn't.
That's
you've
amazing.
You've got children. I just assumed you'd need something to get you through Christmas.
Leathered, permanently leathered. That's so nice. And now it's like, are we like boyfriend and girlfriend now or something? Because this happens all the
no,
time.
No, after you drink that, we will be.
Jesus. This happens at home. Oh, it's my anniversary with Emma, 20 years on New Year's Eve. We met in the Frog and Bucket.
Okay, please tell me you've got something planned.
No, I haven't.
No, you've not got anything planned. You've got like 2 weeks. Because everything's going to be booked.
No, because I'm hoping still for a last-minute gig, because I didn't want one, but now somebody pulls out.
I'm sending her this audio.
It's double money.
I'm sending her this audio.
This is exactly what Emma will do to me on New Year's Eve after saying, no presents, no big deal. She'll turn up with a card and like a present.
It's
and then
20
I'll...
years.
I know,
you
but...
You can't dick around.
Well,
when they
years.
Say no presents, they mean surprise me.
Do you know what I should do? Is I should say, well,
surprise,
Danny Sutcliffe gave me this amazing gift of the boys comic. It's about this team who are like CIA affiliated and they kind of have to police the superheroes. That's what we've not said. Whatever. Oh, that is so nice. I feel so bad that I've not got you anything.
Yeah, you should.
I didn't think we genuinely liked each other. I thought this was like a professional relationship.
It is. I'm just ensuring that you employ me next year.
Oh, yeah. I was going to pull it. This was going to be the last one. Oh, no. Damn it. With comic books and a bottle of vodka, we've got to do another half dozen. When's a good cut-off point? No, basically what I'm asking is how long from this bottle of vodka gift that you've given me until I can, like, replace you, is what I'm saying. What's a respectable length of time?
I don't know.
February?
Until the hangover wears off.
January?
February.
Tomorrow, as I'm driving Joe to school.
Yeah. Ring me on the way back. We're over.
That wasn't a speed bump. Oh, that is so nice. And
happy
so
Christmas.
Bad. Oh, well, thank you. And I will have a happy Christmas. And do you know what I'll do? I'll give you another lift to Didsbury. That's my gift
to you. Fucking beauty. And happy Christmas to all our listeners. Please don't forget to like and rate and subscribe on iTunes. The ratings and reviews really help.
They do.
Genuinely, they do. So,
please do.
So if you want to give us a Christmas present for literally nearly a year's worth of free fucking content, just go to iTunes and rate and review us. That's all it takes. If, like, 1 in 10 of you does it, we might have 3 reviews.
One's by me, one's by Joe, and on condition that I still take him to school.
Yeah.
And you put one on.
Oh, I definitely then, put one on.
Do you know what? There's some bonus comedians.
Oh, I can't. It's under my thing. Anyway.
We've got bonus extra comedians' advice and stuff. Stuart Francis, who I gigged with last night, he's done about three tours.
Phil
10
Nickel.
DVDs. Phil Nichols coming up. Jason Manford's coming up. Might put something I did with Frank Sidebottom about 10 years. That might 10 years ago. The wonderful late great Chris Seavey. So that might go out. And just do what he said. Rate and review it.
Yeah. No, we've been rambling on for 10 minutes. Let's get the fuck out of here and get drunk.
Bye. See you, everybody.
Bye.